Would you bow with me and ask God's blessing on the word tonight? Father, as we open scripture, we pray now that you would help us not only to open it with our fingers, but that we may open it by faith and that we may open the word to hear what you have to say to us. So we pray, Lord, open our minds that we might understand, open our ears that we might hear, but open our hearts also that we may believe. And then open our mouth that we may confess what we hear through the word tonight. Pour your grace upon us as we share this word, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn tonight again to Galatians 5. Last week we looked at the first part of that chapter with you. And tonight I want to look at the last half, starting at verse 16. The first part talked more about the negative side of things. And we need freedom to be free from indulging in the sinful nature. And then if you start at verse 16, it gives you the command, don't indulge in that, but live by the Spirit. And that's what I want to have to think about tonight. So I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunken orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So go back to that verse again that says that the desires of the sinful nature. And then if you go to the next verse in verse 19, but the acts of the sinful nature in verse 19, and then go down to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So far, God's word. People of God, when I saw Barry get that bag of fruit out, I was worried he was going to steal my thunder. I was going to talk about that right at the beginning because there's a word there that I want to have you see. It does not say the fruits of the Spirit, but it says the fruit of the Spirit. And when you think about that, if you buy a stem of grapes, those are all individual, right? And so I have many grapes. If I'm going to eat grapes, I can't just eat one. I have to eat a half a dozen. So I have grapes. Or if you're going to buy cherries, you may eat a whole handful of cherries, but there's not just one. But if you take that orange now that's there, and you would open that orange, you would know that it's one fruit. But inside that orange are many segments, many ways that it can be separated out. Some are larger, some are smaller, some aren't quite developed yet. So that orange, but it's one orange, it's one fruit. Now I want to have you think about that tonight when you're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. When Paul talks about that, he gives that whole list, nine things, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. But all those things that are a part of the fruit of the Spirit, think about that for just a moment and then ask, well, how in the world do we get the fruit anyway? Where does it come from? The fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit in your and my life. So that as he comes into our life, the Holy Spirit begins to work in us and begins to have us see many different things in our life. It's God giving you His Spirit to walk alongside of you and to give you that joy and to know that happiness. As I'm living with the Spirit and I'm walking with the Spirit, then I begin to see and understand more fully what it really means to have the Spirit of God within me. If I look at the world and you hear that vision, the acts of the sinful nature are, but the fruit of the Spirit is, there's that contrast. And when you think about the acts of the sinful nature, we talked a little bit about that last Sunday, those are the things that cause us to devour each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is working at harmony. It's drawing us together. It's bringing us into a fellowship with God because God wants us to know Him and to trust Him more fully. Think about the fruit of the Spirit then for just a moment. As a gift from God, God gave you His Spirit to lead you along. And as it comes into your life, we call that sanctification. Learning to be made holy. And some people think that when you make profession of faith or when you make a change in your life, that all of a sudden it's just there. It's not the way it happens, is it? The fruit of the Spirit is something that develops in you and goes forward in you. As you think about that for just a moment, then it's the act of sanctification, the ongoing things of sanctification. It's the thing that travels from immaturity to maturity. And as we grow through it, there are times when we may be very immature, we may be fall, maybe we get angry, maybe we have other things going on in our life, and the challenges are there. I think of times when people have become angry with each other and have hurt each other and harmed each other, and they think, well, they had it coming. Nobody has anything coming. You look at our world in which we live. If you don't happen to like a certain color of people, you call them names. If you don't happen to like what somebody's doing, you label them by a different name. If you don't like what the police are doing because they're trying to keep the peace, then you're anti-police and you go after them. If you don't like certain things, we're always divisive, right? We're always separating out, going into other things. But the challenge comes, how do I put away those acts of the sinful nature, and how do I develop more fully the fruit of the Spirit? How do I grow from that immaturity in my faith to a maturing faith that continues to go forward? Now, maybe you know somebody that is getting older, and as you talk with them, maybe it's your grandparent or grandma, you realize, well, they're really much more mature than I am. And then they do something that just ticks you off because maybe they got angry at you. Maybe they didn't like what you were doing. And then you think, well, that wasn't very mature at all. When you're 80 years old, you shouldn't act like that. But we do, don't we? Because we're not fully there. The acts of sanctification continue to grow, and I'm moving from immaturity when I first come to Christ all the way through life to maturity, to that point in life when I will be translated to glory. And I have been with many people in those last days of their life over the last 55 years when I think of those things, and how many times the devil doesn't cause them to struggle. I saw a man this past week, and he said, I got one thing in mind. When I get to hell, am I going to recognize other people? And I said to him, why are you asking that question? Don't you believe in Jesus? He said, sure I do. And I know He's washed away my sin. Well, then don't ask about who's going to be in hell, because you're not going to be there. You're going to be in the family of God. Well, what if I get to heaven and there's people there that I don't like here? That's your problem, isn't it? Because God has washed them. That's part of sanctification. And when we get there, it's going to be something. You know, somebody said one time when he asked the pastor that, well, what if I don't like those people? The pastor said, they're probably going to be just as surprised that you're there. But see, it's not about you, is it? It's about what Christ has done for you. It's how Christ comes into your life, how Christ buys you and pays for you and gives you the assurance and gives you the blessing, and you and I can continue to mature in that. So how do I go about that? What are all these things that I have to do? And he lists 9 different things there, doesn't he? 9 sections of the fruit of the Spirit. As you think about growing in that, take a look at those nine ones. Love, joy, peace. Think about love. Do you really love each other? There was a man who told Jesus he loved him enough he was going to die for him. And Jesus told him, "You're minding the things of the world, Peter. Get behind me. You mind the things of Satan." And when that day came, when Jesus was arrested and carted off to the courts, Peter followed behind because he still had that loving attachment to him. And then he gets there and somebody accuses him. And then he starts fearing for himself and he denies Jesus three times, doesn't he? That's not love. He should have stood up and said, "That's my friend. He has done nothing wrong," but he doesn't stand out, does he? But what he does is deny him and say, "I didn't know him. I don't know him at all." And when he goes out, when Jesus looks at him, and there's nothing greater than to feel the eyes of Jesus Christ looking right at you. And when Peter saw that, and we read, he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. Well, it's a little while later, and the resurrection has taken place, and they have met him, and Jesus said, "I'm going to meet you on the beach." And when he does, they're out there fishing, and Peter recognizes him and says, "Oh, it's the Lord." And so he jumps out of the boat and forgets about his friends. They're struggling with this huge net full of fish. And he runs to the shore because he's got to make amends with Jesus. And he's happy. And Jesus said, "We're going to have breakfast on the beach." And so he gets the other guys together and they have breakfast on the beach. And then he said, "Peter, we got to talk." And he asks him a question. Now that question is love, isn't it? But you have to understand in Scripture, there's three different words that talk about love. One is pathetic. It's love that says, "I'm going to use you." And it's called porno, like pornography. "I'm going to use you for me." The other love is phletic love. I love you like a brother. And the third love is agapic love, where Jesus says, "I'm willing to die for you. I would put my life on the line for you." And when you think about that for a moment, and here Jesus and Peter are standing there, and Jesus asks him, "Peter, do you love me enough to be willing to die for me?" And Peter's response is this: "Lord, you know that I love you like a friend." It stops there for a moment. And Jesus looks Peter right in the eye and asks him, kind of saying, "That's not what I ask you." So he asks the question again, "Peter, do you love me enough that you're willing to die for me?" And Peter responds again, "Lord, you know that I love you like a friend." And then Jesus comes back and changes his language and says, "Peter, do you even love me like a friend?" And that's when Peter is grieved because Jesus had asked him three times. But see, he was caught, wasn't he? He did not dare confess his faith and say, "Lord, I would be willing to die for you. I would go to the end of the way. I would go to the cross for you. I would go anywhere with you. For you, I would stand there at the very end and praise your name, even as they took my life." All those things are part of that love thing. Now, when you talk about your neighbor, do you love your neighbor? Do you love them like a neighbor? Or do you love them enough to be concerned about their soul, whether they're going to spend eternity in hell? Are you being willing to go to that person and say, "I just need to sit here and talk with you for a little while. I just need to share with you. I want you to know my Jesus. I want you to really know what it is to have eternal life and to be there if you're going to be called from this life." How many times don't we hear, "But I'm going to do that later. I've got some other stuff I've got to take care of first." how later is later going to be. Young people hear it, say it all the time, right? When I get older, then I'll get right with God. But how do you know you're going to get older? 54 years ago, we were in our first church, a little church in upstate Minnesota. We only had 59 families, and many of those, when they were all friends because they all went to the public school together. And in that public school, out of a class of 55 kids in the senior class, every weekend, somebody else died in an accident. And so I asked the kids from my church, what do you feel like on Friday when you see your friends, and when you say goodbye to your friends? And they said very simply, we wonder, are you going to be here on Monday when we come back? In my church, there was a family with three young boys. Two of those were brothers that loved to double date, and so they went on a double date, and they were going to go away. They never came home. Their parents never saw them again, because a train smashed into their car and killed four young people. The neatest part was we had catechism there on Friday afternoon, and I had asked them to write out, what does Jesus mean to you? And so they wrote out their confession and said, this is what it's all about. This is what it really, if I were to die today, I know I'm going to be with Jesus. Little did that young man know at 15 years of age when he wrote that on that paper at 4:30 in the afternoon that he would see Jesus face to face at 7:30. Are you ready for that? Are we ready for that anytime, right? When I get older, then I'm going to take care of things. When I get through this first, then I'm going to... But the fruit of the Spirit is this, love. And there's joy, there's celebration, right? There's that happiness that comes when we know we're going to see Jesus face to face. That joy is rejoicing, like the songs we've been singing tonight. In my heart there rings a melody, right? That melody that just brings me in harmony with Jesus. There's joy. There's a happiness, there's strength. Love, joy, peace. Think about peace for a moment. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, think about all these things and realize that when God holds you in the grip of his hand, he will give you a peace that passes all understanding, guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's a little while later he wrote, and I have learned the secret to be content in every and any situation, and that's to be walking safely with Jesus. What an awesome thing to be able to pass on. What a happiness to say to other people, but I want you to know this. But then you have to go on and you hear those other things, right? There's six more there. So let's look at the next set. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then comes patience, kindness, and goodness. Are you a patient person? My kids would tell you that as they were growing up, I wasn't always so patient. I would ask them to do something, and they'd say, just a minute. And I'd say, no, not just a minute, now. Are we that way? Are you going to stand firm? Are you going to say, but I'm the one that's in charge here, but you have to do it my way? Or maybe you're not patient enough with your neighbor because you've talked to them a number of times, and they've rebuffed you, and they've gone away. It happened this past fall, that one of our neighbors, we live in a manufactured home park, and the neighbor across the street, their house caught fire, and they're not Christian people. And so while this was happening, I went over there to talk to him, and he said, it's just too confounding. I can't talk right now. So after it was done and the fire was out and they were beginning to clean up, I went over there and I had a bunch of money in my pocket we were going to give them to help them along. And I said to him, Lee, I want to talk with you. I'd like to pray with you. He said, I appreciate your prayers, and I know you want to talk, but I'm too busy, and I just don't want to talk to you at all. Just go home. So I left. He was so busy that he sat down for 45 minutes and spoke to cigarette. I don't need you. I don't need your religion. I don't need your prayers. That's hurtful. Are you patient? They moved away. So I don't know what's going to happen to them. Are you experiencing the joy that comes with kindness? When you see people that are doing mean things, how do you teach them to be kind? How do you teach them to be loving? How do you teach them to in that kindness, be able to share? When you see somebody struggling with the door, do you hold the door open for them? When you see somebody maybe coming with a wheelchair or a walker, are you the one that stands there with the door wide open so they can get in? Or do you walk in and let it bang in their face? Kindness says, I will let you go before me. I always have the habit that I was raised with that you never walk in front of a woman when you go through a door. So if we come to a restaurant, I open the door and I'm standing there and three or four women go in. And one lady said to me, you're quite a gentleman that you would do that. And I said, well, my mother told me, never turn your back on a woman. But the reality was, kindness says, this is my responsibility. I have to hold that joy, peace, kindness, loving kindness, the awesomeness that's there, the fullness that comes. And as you and I go through those fruits of the Spirit, then we come to faithfulness. And finally, that last one, which is probably the bugger, self-control. Are you always in control? When you go to that buffet, are you in control? When you realize that 35 pieces of dessert's going to hurt you, are you satisfied with a half a piece? That's the way we are, right? That's what we go through. But my self-control says I have to be willing to do all the other things so that that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes. Now, how do I cultivate that in my life anyway? How do I bring that out? It starts, number one, it starts with learning to pray about it, right? I will talk to my Heavenly Father and I will ask Him to guide me. I will pray for the power of the Spirit to come into my life. I will pray in such a way that God will fill me up and give me joy and give me happiness and give me peace. I will read the Scriptures. I will spend time in devotions. I will read special literature that challenges me to see God first. I will understand more fully what's happening. Sandy and I have the privilege of sponsoring some people in Kenya through Kenya Hope and helping them. And they're ladies that are widowed, and some of them are young ladies. Our newest widow is a lady that became widowed after 9 years of marriage, and she was married at 14. She has two children. She was left alone. She was the fourth wife in the family. So when the husband is taken away, so often in Kenya, when the husband dies, the husband's family comes and confiscates all the family possessions. Well, fortunately, in this family, they didn't, and those four wives stayed together. And then the pandemic come. And how do you feed all your children? One of the widows that we sponsor has eight children. How do you feed eight children when you can't even go to the market to buy because you have nothing to buy with? How do you understand the struggle when your children need something and you tell them, eat the bark off the tree? I can't comprehend that. So for us to do the joy that we have of sponsorship, of saying we will give some funds so that you can continue to bring them food. Now during the pandemic, all the markets closed down there, and so what they did with all the school kids they have in the Kenya Hope Centers, they packaged home packages for them of beans and corn, and they brought them to their house every day. You don't bring them more than a day's full, or they squander it. So you'd bring enough there for the family every day. Now, that was labor-intensive, but what it really said was, we care enough for you that we want you to be able to eat. The joy, the happiness that comes when we see that, the kindness that says, I'm going to be the one that helps you all the way along the way. And how about the last one, self-control, right? talking about control. It doesn't mean I need to be in control of everything. It means I need to be in control of myself. That goes with the things of the world. It goes with the things of my faith. It goes with the challenge that I have every day to go forward and walk in faith and to know the happiness that's there, to know the joy. As we go then, and as we are developing those things, we have to realize one thing. We have to realize that we don't have to do it all ourselves. We come back to that again, that I rely upon God. I pray, God, give me the strength for today. Give me what I need to be able to see you in everything, and give me the opportunity to share that fullness with other people that they can see you. And so we go forward in faith, don't we? We go forward challenging God's people, challenging other people to come to know Jesus Christ. So as I'm walking that road of faith, what do I have to do? What does verse 25 tell you to do then? Remember what verse 25 says. Since then we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. That's how I'm doing it, right? Learning to walk in step with the Spirit, learning to go forward in faith, learning to be in that challenge every day that says, where's the Spirit leading me? Where's the Spirit letting me know where I have to be? There was a man in my church several years ago who had just could not be alone. In fact, he was 81 years old and he didn't know how to boil water without burning the pan. He just was totally unhandy in the kitchen. And so he got married and his wife died at a very early age. But he couldn't be alone, so he married again anyway. He married five times. And at the age of 81, he came with his new bride-to-be and they were a member of my church and said, would you be willing to marry us? And I said, yes. And we're going to have a happy life. And God's going to provide through her. And it wasn't 3 months later that she passed away. The heartache of it. But the thing was that she ended up with something in the brain and she had to be in the intensive care unit. And I said to him, doesn't this hurt you to be here? He said, I may see her 5 minutes out of 1 hour every day. So I sit here for 55 minutes. I said, doesn't that get long? He said, no, because there's other people come in the waiting room and I have a chance to share Jesus Christ with every one of them. In the middle of his sorrow, knowing that his sixth wife was going to pass away, he still had a greater compassion for other people sitting there. And I think that's really what the fruit of the Spirit is, isn't it? It's teaching me to not feel sorry for myself, but to look out at others and say, but that person needs to know Jesus. That person needs to understand. Let us stay in step with the Spirit. Let's be walking the way the Spirit wants us to walk. Let's be going forward in faith. So as you go through life, as you go through this week, take a look around you and see, who do I really need to be loving to, kind? How much fruit do I have to show? Because I'm growing in the fruit, right? I'm not there yet. It's one fruit. It's all these things together rolled in one called the fruit of the Spirit. And as it comes into my life, it makes me a person to serve him better. May God bless you as you're serving him as well. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege we have of walking with you every day and of standing with you. We pray, Lord, that as we go through all of these things in terms of listening to the challenge of the fruit of the Spirit, that we may realize that the nine commissioning things that are there are commands for our life each day to teach us how to live more fully for you. And Father, we pray that as we belong to Jesus Christ, that we can be fighting against the sinful nature of our life, that we can realize that, Father, so many times we have to be done with those things. And so we pray, since we're walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, help us to walk even as he would have us to walk. So Spirit, we pray, guide our footsteps. Bless us as we go through life together. Bless us as we seek to be a blessing for you. This we would ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.